Hey, how's it going? This is Miami.
And here with the manipulator.
All right, and we're gonna talk a little bit about a lot of different things. A lot of different things that's geared towards seduction. And one of the things that we were just talking about is, what direction are we gonna go in with this show? Okay. Now, I'm a big fan of layered thought. Okay. So say if you can listen to one show, okay, and you can totally get it, and you can get the concepts behind this one show because it's spoken in a way that you can understand it, okay, and you totally just get it, you just flat out get it, right? And then I tell you something else and you just flat out get it. It's so much better. It's almost like this, right? When you're a baby, okay, you try to put on your shirt, but you can't put on your shirt, you know, you're having a hard time and everything like this. But once you gain coordination, you gain all these other pieces of existence, or, you know, how to do things, okay, then ultimately you can put on your shirt easier and a whole lot of other things that you can do easier, more natural, etc. So that's what we're kind of getting into right now. We're going all over the place. And you're not going to learn or discover how to become a master seducer, okay, in one show. But what you're going to do is you're going to have new realizations that are going to affect your game, okay? So if you decide that you want to go out there, okay, with a new perspective on the world, okay, and you spit your game, okay, well, ultimately, you know, you're going to get different results, okay? Different results, okay? Better results, all right? And then you add this show right here, which gets you better results, and another show that gets you better results, another show gets you better results. The more shows you listen to, the better the results get, okay? I don't want to, it's not about, okay, well, learn this technique right here. You know, it's what's called the October Man sequence, right? Okay, and basically it goes like this, okay? It's basic neuro-linguistic programming, and apparently it's something that Ross Jeffries, pretty much the inventor of the seduction community, proposed. And he says that that basically the October Man sequence goes like this. You elicit a state, okay? So say I elicit a state from a girl, okay? She likes Cinderella, okay? And that was her favorite childhood thing, okay? And I infuse the feelings that she gets from Cinderella until it's like overwhelming. And then I say, well, Cinderella is in the tip of my dick, and so therefore, you know, you have to, you know, whatever. Okay, so now, you know, her getting the lifestyle of Cinderella, she's gonna notice different things, and her existence is gonna be different, and the things that she's thinking, it's what's called a thought loop, right? A thought loop is like this, okay? Now, what we're doing is we're not trying to give you these, we're trying to give you mindsets, okay? We want to give you mindsets so that your thought loops can be different. A thought loop basically works like this, all right? So I think one thought, and then another thought, and then that thought reminds me of another thought, and that thought reminds me of another thought. And so I've got all these revolving thoughts that go into my head, into my mind, okay? And all these revolving thoughts, just like a revolving door, just goes into my mind, okay? And when you're with us, what we're doing is we're setting a foundation so that you have new thought loops, so that you're thinking about this, like, oh, maybe this does work. And then you say, okay, well, if this does work, then that means I can apply it here.
We call this fragmenting.
Fragmenting. Okay. And then you have like a thought loop that goes over there, and then something else, and something else. And then before you know it, okay, your mind is completely different, okay, but you don't really know how it's different. You can't really put your finger on why it's different, but it just is different. I feel different about my life. Life is good. Okay, it's the same thing that I want to do with the girl. Okay, I want to be able to affect her thought loops, okay, so that she thinks about life in a different way, okay? And so, you know, ultimately, you know, that's what our purpose is here and things like this. All right. Now, what were you saying about the ocean?
Okay. The ocean in our world represents the unknown, the abyss. We definitely breathe the salty air when we're out on the beach and we're looking out into the ocean and we see nothing out there for longest of ever. It is what's existing out there outside of us. And it's so massive and large and extensive. And what we're talking about here is a universal makeup, a principle. Our bodies are 90% water alone. We only use 10% of our brain, our thinking power. Think of all the creative things that you can do. Now, this ocean, we're land-orientated creatures, as God made us.
Mm-hmm.
We stem from the land, and we orientate ourselves. Say, if Miami, if I look out onto the ocean in California, right?
Mm-hmm.
What coast am I on? The West Coast,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's from what orientation? From what center?
From what point of view?
From our land. We're land-based creatures. But how could something so large, 90% of the world exist outside of us and in us?
Mm-hmm.
And shouldn't I say, well, the Pacific Ocean, I'm on the east coast of the Pacific, the coast of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but I'm on the land. But I'm on the land.
It's just like perception, right? Like before Columbus went to America and found out that the world was round, okay? Basically, everyone thought that the world was flat, okay? And that we were going to sail off the edge of the world, the edge of the land. And so being able to recognize and see a new point of view, a new perspective, you know, gives us more choices to look at the world from. I mean, literally, I could look at the world in a way that says, well, all there is the stuff that's in front of me. Nothing else matters. Or there is no existence outside of what my eyes see. All right? And this very well could be true. What if I'm the only person alive? Okay? What if that girl that I'm talking to is the only person alive? Okay? How would that affect her mind? How would that affect her world and the way she looks at the world and the things that she finds important? And how could you manipulate these things to persuade your way of thinking upon her?
So what is fragmentation when this takes place?
Where is fragmentation when this takes place?
Now, when we're talking about thought loops,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and we're pretty much talking about intersects. For example, I can give you two viewpoints from one standpoint,
mm-hmm.
which does exist, which is more obscene. Well, we're not on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, quite contrary. Okay, what we're establishing are two different viewpoints. I mean, how could you deny that there's 90% of the water, and this is primarily much larger than us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm blending these two concepts, when they interlock with each other, fragmentations, little chips, little shattered shapes are being created. So we would like to talk about how these can create a schema, a mental mapping, what's created in our own minds from nothing, from something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking about basically paths that are crossing, when you meet someone, when you meet a girl, you guys are intersecting paths. There's intersection taking place.
Did you know that in a person's life, all problems, all human problems, either fall into one of these categories: health, wealth, or relationships? Okay, health, wealth, or relationships. Okay, so say if a woman is just not happy with her life, all right? What if, you know, the health of her or one of her family members is not the most solid thing, okay? What if, you know, her wealth or something like this isn't, you know, happy? What if the relationships that she's having, she's not really, you know, getting?
Are these fragments created inside her mind?
How can I fix what she's going through while at the same time reminding her of her responsibility to please herself by giving pleasure to me and obeying her father, aka me? All right. How can I, you know, change these different ways of her thinking? All right. When I, you know, give her a new perspective, all right, she's completely, there's a thing, right? Okay, it's called what is it called? It's called fractals. Okay, and basically a fractal is a smaller piece of the whole. Okay, and so say if you have sand, right? And if you were to look at sand from a helicopter, okay, and you would see on the shore there's ripples in the sand. Well, if you were to get closer, you'd walk on the shore, you see ripples in the sand as well. And if you were actually to take one grain of sand, you would also see the same style of ripples within the grain of sand, each individual grain of sand, okay? So say if you were to change the grain of sand and the way that they think about the grain of sand, okay, you would literally change the entire way that somebody thinks about something or about, you know, their life or about, you know, what's important or the different things that are important, okay? One of the things that I was talking about really heavily is like a person's perspective, a woman's perspective. Okay, so if a woman has a perspective that okay, she needs to be with this jock, you know, she needs to be with this jock because he's popular and he's this and that. How can I infuse doubt into that? How, just the same way that I can infuse doubt that we're not really on the West Coast and you're on the East Coast.
If there is an abyss, this doubt is an abyss.
Exactly. The thing is that everything was created by humans, okay? Everything in the world was created by humans. The trick to living life, okay, is to know something and be certain of it. That is the trick to living life, all right? So if I swear to God on my mother, you know, on everything I love or whatever, that I live on the East Coast, okay, and I can prove this, okay, in my way of thinking,
by taking you out to the ocean,
by taking you out, you know, by framing you out of the abyss that you live in into another way of thinking. Or if I truly believe that I'm the only person on earth, or you are the only person on earth, and something like this, or that, you know, if I frame out that I am God and this chick is my loyal servant, and this is how I present and I frame the world, okay, and I have a strong enough belief in that, more of a strong belief than she has in the fact that this is not true and that I am not God or whatever, okay. Well, what's going to happen is she's going to start believing that I am. Or if she's just a little bit uncertain, okay, which we all are, which can always be conjured up because everything in the world is a construction of a human being. Being that it's a construction of a human being, okay, anything can be anything, all right? So since there's a construction and we're all human beings, there can be this doubt.
Relations.
Okay, exactly. Just as much as this could be the West Coast, this could be the East Coast. Just as easily. All right?
Now, we talked about themes and schemas and mental maps.
Mm-hmm.
And like we mentioned before, there really isn't no map in an ocean. But through these relations, we're talking about how we have intersections and their relations. And let's board a relationship and let's take it out to sea. So, and this is the relationship that we want. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is something we believe in.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's there.
You know, it's not about, you know, just being like a good sergeant. You know, sergeant, because, you know, he's not necessarily in the mainstream seduction community. But he is a natural seducer. He's really good. And he knows a lot of psychology and things like this. And he's a really cool person. But, you know, sarging means going out and talking to women. Okay? Now, sarging is a skill set. Okay? It's something, you know, that you want to be good at. Okay, well, you know, I'm good at breaking the ice. I'm good at opening up women or getting them to talk or whatever. Okay? But it's about a lifestyle. Okay? A lifestyle of the way that I look at life. Okay? We're here to build lifestyles. Okay? When you build a lifestyle, then you have something to fall back on. Or not just to fall back on, so to speak, but you have something to... that creates, how would I say, when you build a lifestyle, you know, you're building something that's definite, that's gonna, you know, that whenever someone steps into your life, okay, you have a certain way of living, okay, your certain way of living, okay, is going to create, you know, the things that people see, the magic that's in your world. Every argument to every compliment and piece of praise comes from and stems from your lifestyle, okay? You know, if I've got tattoos or something like this, that's part of my lifestyle. If somebody hates my tattoos, it's because of my lifestyle. If someone loves my tattoos, it's because of my lifestyle. If somebody treats me better and opens the door for me and says, hey, come on in, because I have tattoos, it's because of my lifestyle. What do you want your lifestyle to be like? What are the elements that you want in your lifestyle? What ways can you portray your lifestyle and the way that you live to other people? Okay, so that, you know, you ultimately, you know, get what you want out of life, okay, and attract the people that are attracted to your lifestyle into your life. How can your lifestyle be like Vegas, okay, where one girl might not necessarily want to go to Vegas today, but that doesn't mean that she's not curious. There's girls... just like when I was a kid, I'd say, oh, well, I don't want to look at this porn magazine. This is dirty. This is degrading. It's degrading the women and all this bullshit, right? But then I turn around, and as soon as my mom's gone, I'm flicking open the fucking porn magazine, and I'm flipping through the fucking pages, all right? And it's the same thing with you. How can you be that person that causes that, but then at the same time, you tempt them constantly, okay, and drive them nuts, drive them fucking berserk crazy with the notion that they can be in a room full of porn magazines and, you know, and you have a good enough excuse. So, like, my excuse was this. My dad owned a lot of apartment buildings and houses. So, as a child laborer, I used to, you know, work for my dad and, you know, help him, you know, clean up and fix up these apartment buildings. Okay, in return, he would go to his night job at night because the guy never got any sleep. And I would look through his porn collection, and I had, you know, full exposure to it. And it was the highlight of it all. He had the Playboy channel. It was a highlight.
What a wonderful imagination.
Yeah, exactly. You know. And so ultimately, you know, it's a lifestyle thing. What do you think about the tattoo thing that I was showing you about the tattoos and how
that's interesting. How it creates a proxy for people in relation to their own genetic code. I mean, the people are adding to their image, but it's a proxy that goes along with your genetic code.
Okay. Well, basically like this, right? Okay. They say that the better that on average people who have tattoos are genetically better looking on average than guys without tattoos. Okay. So, and when I say good looking, I mean like one way that people see or sense that a person is good looking is by looking at their face, and if their face is pretty much symmetrical, then what'll happen is they're seen as having better genes and looking better and being more attractive. Okay, now what I'm saying here is that, you know, looking good or, you know, having the tattoo is sort of like a signal to women on a subconscious level that every other guy that she's ever spoken to that has tattoos is a very good looking guy. So he must be a very good looking guy as well. You know, even if, say, one guy or something like this reads this and he's not the best looking guy, he says, well, you know, I think I'll get some tattoos. Okay. You know, you're going to get kind of thrown in the pile with all the other guys who are genetically great looking, gorgeous, and have tattoos automatically. Okay. It's just like, it's just like if
entering a pool of thought.
Exactly. You know, it's just like if I ride around in a luxury car, okay, and I drive around in a luxury car, what's going to happen is people are automatically going to associate me with the things that people who drive luxury cars have. Oh, well, you must be powerful. Oh, well, you must have a lot of money. Oh, well, your status must be of a high status. Okay, and this is what people automatically think when they see me with this car. Whether that's true or not is not the case. The point is that if I'm building a lifestyle, I might want to use some of these things as leverage to get me the ultimate results that I want.
See, me and Miami didn't want to leave you out of the loop at their last conversation, so we actually recorded this one just a short time afterwards. And we just figured, you know, we just let these people in our car, and then we locked them out. We shut them out. Said, wait, we have to go back and turn around and reopen all the doors to our imagination.
Mm-hmm.
To our love, to what we understand with life. So,
imagine this, right?
I'd like to talk about carpools.
Okay. Talk.
Well, we can have X amount of people in a car.
Yeah.
They go to work every day. And think about the relationships they're going to develop with each other.
Yeah.
They're not driving out there alone. You know, they get to ride in the fast lane. And it's an enjoyable experience. How many people actually get to talk with other people and have relationships before they go to work? It's an amazing thing. You just can't be a dud out there. So getting into the game is a serious concept and notion. But what party are you riding with? Well, here, you're learning with the best. With us.
Exactly.
You're riding with us.
Exactly.
It can be a plane, it can be a ship. I like the concept of the ship since we're talking about water.
You know, and that brings up a very interesting point. Well, you know, because, you know, okay, for example, right? There's a lot of people out there who literally have to be in a group for them to feel accepted. Okay, they have to be a part of a larger group. Okay, the leader of that group, or the alpha, is the one who creates the rules. okay? The one who creates and enforces the rules, okay? So, say the alpha to
The beta
of the alpha of you know, the highway is the sheriff, and the alpha to the sheriff is the sheriff's boss, and the alpha to the sheriff's boss is, you know, government officials, and those government officials are alpha to, you know, the president, and the president is alpha to, you know, the rules that people make. All right.
See, this relationship principle to people in general is, you best believe that everything is centered in our culture. We have a pop culture. So when we talk about these alphas, it's there. It's reality, people.
Exactly. And what I'm saying is this. Okay. You creating an alternate universe, okay, where your friends are supportive of you, if you want to call your car your dick or daddy's dick or whatever, okay, your friends ought to be supportive of that so that you can invite certain people in your life, like women, of course, who are turned on by that idea, by that idea of living in that type of world or in that type of fantasy world. And it doesn't even have to be a fantasy world. It can be a reality world. It can be a real world. Okay? You know, I've got this girl who can't even look me in the eyes, because every time she looks me in the eyes, she knows that there's some really kinky shit attached to it. Okay? Every single time. Okay? So I turn her on to no fucking end, ultimately, is what it comes down to. Okay? But I had to create that world. I had to be the alpha and say, okay, guys, it's not about getting the head. It's not about making love to this girl. It's about programming her mind to think of the kinkiest, sluttiest, nastiest stuff. Okay? For example, like, I cannot jack off and get off if I don't have a kinky fantasy going through my mind. I cannot do it. It will not happen. Okay? And it's the same thing with women. And so I want to be able to create as much of a kink fest as possible so that it's easy for her to get off, so that, you know, we can have this world of lust, so that just a conversation that I'm having with this girl or me looking her in the eyes can be hotter than making love to some other guy. Okay? That is power. That is true power.
Imagination, relation. These are two constructs that we're talking about. And within relation and imagination, not only do they rhyme, but if you blend the words together properly and you imagine lately, what you get is real nation. A real nation.
Exactly. You know, and so you want to be able to bring in the real nation, and you want to be able to bring this world together for her, okay? And as you do it, you know, it's, they say, I'm working on this new theory. Check this out. I think you'll really like this. I haven't told you this yet, but it's fucking mind-boggling, okay? Okay. There is a formula to making women fall in love with you, okay? And this formula goes like this, okay? So, I reveal something, okay? This is basically happened in a science lab somewhere in the UK, okay? They brought in three men, three women. Three attractive men, three attractive women, okay? And they told each other to pair off in the groups, where there's one man in one group, one woman in another group, in the three different groups, all right? They were told to talk to each other, regular conversation, and every 30 minutes disclose something fascinating about themselves, or something that no one knows about themselves, something that's really generally held very close to the vest. So the man says, you know, what his deepest fear is. The woman says what her deepest fear is. 30 minutes later, the man says, you know, what his greatest dream is that he, you know, wants to achieve in life. And she says what her greatest dream is that she wants to achieve in life. 30 minutes later, something else happens that's similar in dynamic and parallel, in parallel and dynamic. And the woman says something parallel and dynamic. And then they eye gaze for 2 minutes, okay? And then what happens is afterwards is boggling. 2 out of 3 of those groups have gotten married, okay? 2 out of 3 of those groups got married. Actually, it wasn't 3 couples. It was 4 couples. But one group started dating. 2 groups got married. And the other group, nothing never happened with them. Okay? So, but that is the formula to love. Okay? So when I'm being honest about my interpretation on life and the way that I see life, that's just as deep and as close as... You know, it's just as deep and as close and as beautiful as me saying, you know, what my deepest desires are, or what's something that I've never told anybody. It's on the same parallel of something deep that people don't usually talk about, that people don't usually acknowledge. Okay? And so by me acknowledging that and having her acknowledge that world, okay, and by me having good eye contact with this woman, I'm going to create a world of love between me and this woman. Now, whether, you know, we get married or we just have a great romance or we just, you know, make love, you know what I mean, and really good love, okay, that is not the case. That's not the issue, okay? The issue is that you want every woman to fall in love with you. You want girls who are your friends to fall in love with you, okay? You want, you know, girls that you just talk to on a fly-by-night basis that you'll never see again to fall in love with you, okay? You want the bartender to fall in love with you. You want the lady who works the front desk to fall in love with you. You want... You know, all these women to fall in love with you, or at least partially to a degree. Okay, so say if there's a hostess, okay, and she tells me something deep about herself that she doesn't really talk about, I tell her something deep about myself that we don't really talk about, and I hold good eye contact for 2 minutes. For 2 minutes, okay, that's deep enough. That might be deep enough for her to cut out a special place for me in her heart, to the point for where she remembers me and my name, and she wants to make sure that she looks really nice for me next time I come to the restaurant, or she sees me walking through the door and she gets jealous that she sees me with another girl, or something like this, okay? And that's ultimately what I want, okay? I want this girl to be enamored with me, okay? That's the whole point of seduction, is to be able to feel like you get love and appreciation throughout the world. If a person just wants to get laid, you know, they can, you know, buy a hooker. But if a person wants a deep connection, okay, there's other things that you can do that seem, you know, ordinary or bland or not flashy like all the other seducers, but are extremely effective in changing a person's life.
I completely agree. Interesting enough is I can imagine all these people listening to our show right now and probably can't get enough of it. They love it. And you may be asking yourself, well, I kind of get the whole concept of creating a relationship and having this world of imagination, but am I bringing this world to somebody else's? And I think the key element of what we're trying to speak of here is what's written inside of all of us. How can you sit there for 2 hours and look at all this porn? This is your world. This is what you're in. But it never becomes a reality when you go outside into the existential. So how can you not say you already have not imagination? It's already there. And I answered your question. And this is great. So it's a concept of getting in root touch with who we are. And to leave apart the rest of the world and create something new in this potential. When you create a relationship with a woman,
it's like a, it's like you're in your own little cult. Go ahead, keep talking.
Yeah, when in a relationship with a woman, it's a happy world. You're strolling down Lover's Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that this world possibly exists out there, you know, there's a time where perhaps I never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And to believe in this ethereal outside of just the basis of what we know,
mm-hmm.
that this exists. So Miami's teaching you how to get in touch with these things, but the key elements in the lessons that are to be given are to understand the prime example. The example, the sample, the example is people in the world that already exists, and the schemas that have already been created are already there. We can get an access and touch with them, and plausibly, we're talking about open accessibility.
You know, like when there's this quote, okay, that's in the book The Game. It says, people used to look out on the playground and say that the boys were playing soccer and the girls were doing nothing. But the girls weren't doing nothing. They were talking. They were talking about the world to one another. And they became expert in about that world in a way that boys did not. Okay? Well, women want a leader. Okay, women want to be led. Okay, there is scientific studies that show that women can't make a decision, okay, about what they want, what they don't want, what they like, what they don't like. Okay, and so when there's a lot of pressure and things like that, okay, on a woman, okay, she tends to, how would I say, break down a little bit, and she tends to let the mainstream win. Okay, so by me or you becoming an expert on the way that we can see the world and the different perceptions that we can have of the world, okay, we're basically creating a world where women can how would I say, we're basically creating a world where women
can interrelate, correlate.
We're creating a world where we can lead them in their world of fantasy that they've created so strongly that men are very basic in. You know, a lot of guys think, oh, well, it's just all about sex. It's not all about sex. It's more about what's going through your mind than it is about the sex. So many guys, including myself, say, oh, that's what the big deal was. That's the big deal of sex. Sex is not really a big deal, okay? It's about the heat that you bring to sex, the desires, the love, the kink, whatever you want to call it, that you bring to sex, that creates the feelings that feel better than sex. Okay, now how many times have you sat in front of your fucking laptop computer and masturbated, and then you turn around and you get with the woman who's, you know, pretty good looking, pretty decent woman, but she doesn't turn you on in the least bit? Okay, or, you know, you have sex with her and it's like no big fucking deal. Okay, you're like, well, that's all that shit was? That's what I've been putting all this weight on? Men put weight on sex because they think that it's a conquest. Exactly. They think like, oh yeah, you know, this I'm conquesting. It's the conquest. The conquest is cool, but the conquest of the mind is something that women will more easily give up.
Exactly. Don't take it personal.
But once you control the mind, the sex comes with it. Okay? It's not about, people think foreplay is kissing and touching and stuff like this. Foreplay is manipulation and control of the mind. Okay? That's what foreplay is. It's manipulating, controlling, guiding, seducing, enticing, the mind into different ways that they never, you know, ever thought that they could ever feel, you know, and, you know.
And let's be honest, how many people sit there and dream about foreplay? I mean, I can imagine that you possibly spend 4 hours at a time thinking about all the luscious things and, you know, whatever makes your mind material.
Mm-hmm,
you want to
mm-hmm.
give to that world in a dream state.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's where the game and all these seducers, except for a select chosen few, have really failed to show us. They show us how to lay a woman. They show us the right things to say and the things that are more likely to get her in a situation where she's more likely to lay you, but it's not all about that. Okay, it's really more about taking all those fantasies and things like that, because half the times, you know, when I think about a woman in my dreams and in my fantasies, she's got at least a little bit of clothes on. You know what I mean? But why? I mean, clothes, doesn't that take away from the seduction? Doesn't that take away from the seduction? You see what I mean? But no, it adds to the seduction because it gives a theme to the seduction. It creates a theme for the seduction. Okay? And so, therefore, you want to be able to create the same theme for the seduction. You know, a similar theme or create.
Clothes are very much foreplay. And styling, stylists. We want to talk about what it is that you want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is the relation, this is the situation.
In my perspective, in my humble perspective, my goal for when I deal with women is to fix their problems, okay? Is to fix their problems, all right? If she's got pain, she's got hurt, she's got strife, she's confused, she's feels damaged, you know, life isn't treating her the way that, you know, she wants it to treat her, and things like this, okay? That's very painful for a girl to go through, okay? I know this girl who was with the guy for 5 years, okay? Guy would cheated on her, okay? He lied about the whole thing, and it ruined her plans, okay? It ruined her plans. And so, you know, her plans being ruined, you know, that's very painful. And so she made it kind of hard. I mean, he made it kind of hard for the next guy that comes along.
Because these intersections, as we mentioned, fragmentations, we're creating these situations that exist. And these are intersections of paths, but you left the path broken, is what we're saying.
It's like this, okay? There's there's a lot of stuff that doesn't make any fucking sense that happens in our society, right? What winds up happening a lot of times in our society is women don't want a guy that's jealous. They don't want a guy that's jealous at all. Okay? They want to stay away from the jealous guys. They think that they're, you know, they just don't like the jealous guys, right? But the jealous guys are the ones who actually take care of that woman. Okay? They're actually the ones who will, you know, stay with that woman for years and years and years and protect them and give them shelter and, you know, pay the bills and take care of them in every way, shape, form possible. Okay? This is what jealousy does. A jealous man will do. If a guy is not jealous, usually, not always, because there's us, there's seducers and stuff like this, but usually, if a guy's not jealous, he's not going to stick around for that girl. He's not going to stick around for that girl. Okay? But this is what women want. Okay? Not necessarily guys that are not going to stick around for him. If a girl ask a girl, do you want a guy that's not going to stick around with you? She's going to say, get lost, creep. You know, she's going to, you know, you know, but ultimately that's what they want. If I ask them, do you want a jealous guy? She's going to be like, no, are you crazy? But then if I say, you know, do you want a guy who's not jealous? She'll say yes. And it's the same thing as saying, you know, do you want a guy that's not going to stick around for you? Okay. But how can I make her understand that that jealous boyfriend or whatever isn't, you know, was screwed, you know, like the how could I help her to understand that this world, okay, that she lives in, okay, it's got flaws, and how can I help to repair those flaws?
This is what we call reframing in neuro-linguistic programming, is that a schema is basically a mental matrix. It's a map that people use to chart what has happened in their lives. These are all categorized by experiences. Any experience is obviously a crossing of a path. And what people end up doing is referring to their schemas as a mental roadmap to go a certain way.
Well, there's now, so many contradictions.
In neuro-linguistic programming, there is what is called reframing. Bringing someone back into that situation and constructing new schemas, new maps, new forms. Mm-hmm. Well, how can we talk about this? How can I bring someone there again? Every time I mention something to someone, or go approach a female at a bar, we exchange words, the foreplay is right, there's open accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
During this time, she might be used to the old rigmarole, but I haven't played that card yet. I haven't played any cards yet.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is open. Everything is free. Everything is great. And this is what she's enjoying. Mm-hmm. And now accessing these platforms and stages and uprooting the thoughts of her dreamscapes and whatnot, a lot of people are shy. There's walls that need to be broken down.
Mm-hmm.
These are broken paths. But the whole situation of being in a bar in itself with a female is currently reconstructing an intersection again, because she's been there. She perhaps, if I wear the wrong hat, I'm that type of guy that's going to do the wrong thing again.
Mm-hmm.
Or something to this effect.
Mm-hmm.
So we are already in the construct of a social scenario, of a situation. To mend and reframe, it's like going in to repair a computer. Oh, I can pull this out. I can add this. I can reframe this. We can network this. We can add a program. Let's talk about Microsoft Word. I love words. You know, let's write a story. Let's talk about something. Let's make something out of this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, gentlemen, when you approach a situation, at best, everything you do is playing on these roles and schemas of our imagination. And it's almost to the point where I can almost predict what is going to happen if I pull a certain card out or I play this. Mm-hmm. Why? Because there's those roadmaps. They're there. Are they?
Mm-hmm. And there's different roadmaps. And there's more popular roadmaps. There's roadmaps of their childhood, where they grew up on Sleeping Beauty, Beauty and the Beast, you know, Shrek, or whatever the fuck, whatever fucking cartoon they grew up on, okay? They probably grew up with the father and the mother, okay? These are all roadmaps. If their father and mother broke up, that's a roadmap. How are they taking it? Do they study yoga? that's a roadmap too. People who study yoga usually have this, this, and this belief. If she studies yoga, she's probably 2/3 more likely to be a vegetarian. Okay. You know, if she's a vegetarian, she's probably, you know, 5/8, 6/7, 6/8 more likely to go to Whole Foods. If she goes to Whole Foods, you know, she's probably more likely to, you know, spend a lot of money on food. You know, if she spends a lot of money on food, she's probably, you know, more likely, you know, has a career that can support it. Or, you know, she's probably not gonna be, you know, this girl who's so consumed with money, you know, because, you know, she goes to Whole Foods, and girls who do yoga usually aren't consumed with money on that level, because people in yoga have usually certain philosophies that you go through for you to even become good at yoga. And so these are roadmaps. I want to use her roadmaps, and I want to add some lines and add some things and take her natural patterns, and I want to twist them around till she doesn't know what's real and what's not. You know, so she doesn't know what's real and what's not, you know. And that's beautiful, you know, because I'm putting her into my world, and I'm giving her the power to you know,
it's like a newfound love.
Exactly, you know, and the best part about it, in my perspective, is when she leaves my world, okay, she's going to be, she's gonna miss me, because we went on this journey together, okay, to all these different places, and there's no one else who is in her world, okay, besides her female friends, who might not have the same sensibilities as me and the same desires as me, that are going to show her a world, but it might not be the same world that I have. And you know, the thing is this: the reason that a Mercedes-Benz, a Lexus, a Ferrari, a Porsche, all these cars are so valuable and so beautiful, okay, is because ultimately they're pieces of social proof. They've been proven and shown over and over and over again. From the alphas, and been seen with enough people of an alpha nature, and the people of the alpha nature say, this is the car that you need to have. Okay? So it's all a sales job. It's all a frame job. Okay, whether that successful person drives a Mercedes-Benz or not is all up to the salesperson. It has nothing to do with the car as much as it has to do with the perspective that's being sold to the buyer. Okay, so I can sell myself in the same way, everything that I have, flaws and faults and all, to be just as good and just as valuable, just as powerful, just as beautiful as going on a trip to, you know, a deserted island, or, you know, going to, you know, driving this beautiful car, having this beautiful house, living a beautiful life, you know?
Well, isn't it more common or not? Well, I want to be that rock star. And what's only given to us is generally from what we only take. And I want to know how to enter the center. How does one enter the center? And these schemas, there are ladders.
Mm-hmm.
They're steps. By learning the schemas and these so-called patterns that are generated from this center, is becoming more in touch with them, the closer to the center of this pop culture driven world that you're given. So there is a way to access the center, and we have that information. They're like tickets to a movie or keys to a car.
Mm-hmm.
And there's step processes to understanding these. Before these lessons were given, we only understood that, well, yeah, there's a situation and there's a whole bunch of things that I like.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're understanding that it's really important to have a somewhat infinitive imagination at best work for you, and to have something centrally driven in your own world.
And that's why it's so important to learn these alpha qualities, to recognize that if one person says, oh, your world is bullshit, you know, this world that you're talking about, or, you know, insulting your world or something like that, they're full of shit. They're just mad, you know, because they don't have as powerful a grasp as you, and so they want to take your grasp away.
I don't have a better car, and I don't have...
You know, yeah, you know, or I don't have as good of an ideas, or aren't you supposed to have a beautiful car if you're going to be with this beautiful girl? Aren't you supposed to have, you know, this beautiful house if you're with this beautiful girl?
The tight jeans situation. Everybody started wearing tight jeans again.
Mm-hmm. You know, it is true. And as people who make this a reality, okay? But everyone is influential, okay?
Within the social network.
Exactly. You know, I moved to Orange County, and a lot of my friends were, you know, popular and powerful and rich, all right? And all it would take would be, and I thought of it, I said to myself, all it would take would be for me to inspire this person, and for that person to inspire their father, who runs a television network, or, you know, writes for reality television, or, you know, something like this, okay, for one of my ideas to get manifested into reality, okay, on a mainstream level, for where girls in India, girls in Spain, girls in France, girls all over the world would see the benefit of my influence, okay? And, you know, so, you know, I mean, you have the same effect as well. You have the same exact effect as well. It might not be as close to the center or the core.
The physical aspect of the core. As, you know, you may not have a father who does such and such in a business. You may not be physically close, but...
But think about it like this. What about your community? What about the people in your community? What about your family? What about your friends? Okay, what about your world causes people to be inspired, okay, to the point where they literally change their life? How can I inspire people to inspire people? Okay, how can I inspire people to inspire people? Okay, and how can I inspire this girl so much for where when she breaks apart from me, and she goes away from me, okay, that she is happy. She's happy. She's a happy person that feels love, and she wants to, and she's eager to share her love for where she's happy with or without me, okay? That's beautiful, okay? Of course, she'd rather be with me, but even without me, she's happy, and she's out there inspiring people. There is a story about this pimp. I think we'll close it at the story of a pimp. Basically, it's a story of a pimp, right? This pimp talked to these girls. Or no, he had a girl that he was selling, okay? He only had one, okay? And this girl decided to leave him for a richer pimp, or I don't know, maybe she decided to go back to school and be a nurse. I don't know. But ultimately, she left him. But he treated her so well and provided so many opportunities for her, protected her so well, all right, never, you know, wasn't controlled by her or anything like that. It wasn't like he was a puppet and she was on he was on the string of a puppet and she's a puppet master or anything like that. It wasn't like he was trying to make her a puppet on a string either, you know, unless that was her fantasy. And if that's her fantasy, god damn it, I'm gonna give it. But you know, ultimately what he did is he made her so happy, okay? And so when she left him, she had nothing but good things to say about him to all of her friends, all of her family, or not family, but all of her friends and all the other prostitutes and stuff like this. Okay, so then girls started flocking him, okay, because he was so good at being what he was, which was a great pimp. Any last words, my friend, the manipulator?
Well, Session, well done. I think we left people with their minds a little bit more daft, if you will, more apt to understanding these fallacies. It's key to be important enough to be normal, to be natural, to be yourself, to have a natural-esque quality.
You know what? Everything in this world is natural. Okay, we are all influenced by something. All of us are influenced by something. All right, it's your it's up to you to say what's important and what's not. What makes you feel good and what's not doesn't make you feel good. And you will find that there's a lot of girls who the same things that make you feel good and turn you on, they have the same thing. Anytime I refer to one of those things, I'm going to drive her completely fucking wild. Well, this is Miami
and the manipulator.
Yeah, see, this is like an add-on to the product, and ultimately, like, you know, if you really look at life, and I just want to make this point that, you know, ultimately, like, the product is kind of like one of those things where I'm never done. I'm never completely done, you know. So, like, as I'm putting the finishing touches on everything, you know, I've decided that, you know, I'm gonna record little blurbs and things like that, you know, to add on to the product so you guys can get a fuller effect of, you know, what all this is about. Okay. Well, think of it this way, right? The whole entire world is hypnosis. All right, the entire world is hypnosis. All right, everything from the chairs to the tables to the mirrors to what you call them, okay, and how you interact with them, and what are the things that you think of when you interact with these things. All right, now, not only is it hypnosis, but okay, it's kind of like this, right? There's, okay, for example, right? Okay, like every letter has an effect, okay? So say, like, I say in the Spanish culture, you know, the term papa or papa or padre is very prominent, okay? Now, that sound reminds you of certain sounds in nature, okay? Or say, like, a bear, a bull, you know, and or a boar, okay? They all have certain, like, characteristics about them, okay? Or say, like a bear, he growls, he's like, growl. That's a sound in nature. Okay, if I was to take a baseball bat, all right, and hit it up against, you know, something, all right, say I hit it up against a bed or something like that, okay, it will make a sort of boom sort of sound. You see what I mean? All right, and so these sounds in nature craft our thoughts, okay, about certain things. But then there's social conditioning. Social conditioning has a big part to do with, you know, it's just like this, right? You know, you get really deep into, like, the BDSM world and dominatrix and all this other types of stuff and dominant, submissive, blah, 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 right? Okay. Certain things that a lot of people would think are, like, absolutely horribly, horrifically painful, okay, and terrible, okay, they've been brainwashed to feel that these things are good, that these things feel good, that these things give you the ultimate joy and the ultimate pleasure, all right, and things like that, right? Okay. Well, what if you were to invent your own world? Okay, what if you were to invent something similar to BDSM, except it's, you know, every time she gives you head, you know, she, you know, feels like she's doing something that she really loves doing. If she likes skiing, it's just like skiing, sweetheart, and blah, 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 blah. Everything, you know, you want to figure out the specifics of what she likes about skiing and attach it to the act of her giving you a head. And ultimately, what it's going to do is it's going to continually remind her that these two things are interconnected and interlinked. All right. Now, say, when you were a kid, all right, there was the word bed, and your parents probably said to you, oh, well, you need to go to bed at this time and that time, and, you know, bed, 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 thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times throughout your life. Okay, you've heard this word, all right, and so what winds up happening is those words are interlinked to create this sort of vibration that you think of, what you think of as a bed, the thing that you lay down on, that you think blah blah blah, it's called a bed. All right, but then say if you like, if you listen to the word bed and you listen to the word pillow, okay, pillow sounds a lot more soft and comfortable and cozy and things like this, right? So say I, instead of calling it a bed, started calling it a pillow, okay? Well, then me, the act of sleeping and anything that is associated with this quote-unquote bed would feel automatically more comfortable, more pillowy, more soft, more dreamlike. Okay? All right. And so, you know, that's the way that you want to associate things. Okay? And look at things in that deep of a level, because this level exists. There is, you know, how there's a whole nature versus nurture argument. Nature versus nurture argument is says like this. All right, it says, all right, is it my genetics, my genes that craft me to be the person that I am? Or is it nurture? The way I was brought up, the way I was raised. Okay? And I'm here to tell you that it's both. Okay? It's the physical world that meets with the human mind. All right? And within this physical world, you can interpret things however you want to. All right. Now, suppose, okay, I gave an entirely different interpretation of the world to someone else, and I drilled that into their head. I tell them every single day, this is how the world is. This is what it is. This is what it's about. Okay, eventually what would happen is their mind would turn and start seeing it in the way that you'd said to see it. Okay. And then, you know, their whole life would change ultimately. All right. And so, you know, I challenge you to look at the world and find all the different ways that you can rewire your world to remind the women around you that are in your world about sex and how you can, you know, talk about it and what to label it as and how to relabel everything. All right, you want to relabel everything, okay, to such a high degree where, okay, like for example, right, nature versus nurture, but then there's things that's right in between that we don't even think about, right? Okay, so say like the word, the name Fawn, okay, as a old girlfriend of mine's name. All right, now this name sounds very soft and very dreamlike and very colorful and very, you know, fun and all these other types of things, right? Okay, well, what if I called my my mind a fawn? What if instead of it being a mind, it was a fawn? Okay, then that means that everything that goes through my fawn would be colorful and dreamlike and sweet, and nice and pure, and all these things. Okay. Now, there's several ways that we're hardwired. That it's easy to that make hardwiring easy. That makes the act of being hardwired very easy. Okay, rehardwired easy. Okay, there's extremes. So say if I take somebody far off into deep land that they've never been before. Okay, whether it's in their mind or in reality. All right. Okay, or imagine this, right? Okay. Context is the greatest hypnotist ever. All right. So you take an American kid, right? He's a good kid. He gets, you know, B's in school. He's not really a geek, you know, but he's fun to be around. You know, he's kind of the popular, cute kid. He's 16 years old. Okay. Who would ever think that that kid would become a cold-blooded killer? Okay. Well, in 2 years, nonetheless, right? So you take this 16-year-old kid. Maybe he's experimented with marijuana, cigarettes, plays PlayStation, has a